Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through verse 17, and the Reverend Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. Matthew chapter 9. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of John the Baptizer's lingering disciples have come with a question. "We fast, and the Pharisees fast, so why don't your disciples fast?" After all, shouldn't Jesus' disciples be like every other group of pious Jewish people? Shouldn't they be like the other disciples after all? And indeed, it's a good question. Jesus has already answered this question, though, about fasting back in chapter 6. "When you fast, don't fast in the way as the Pharisees," and so on. But the thing is not the thing. He is not talking about fasting, nor is the question about fasting. Really, it's about Jesus. It's about his identity and about his ministry. Similar to the Pharisees' question just a few verses prior to our text today. "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" A question directed to Jesus' disciples really was not the issue with the disciples, but with Jesus. It was a question about Jesus, who he is, his identity, and his authority. Why he would, after all, eat with sinners. In the eyes of the Pharisees, Jesus was eating with the wrong people. But Jesus came to seek and save all the lost. So Jesus replies. He replies to John's disciples' question. "My disciples will fast, but not now." Because why? Why would one mourn at a wedding feast? That's absurd. Why would you mourn and fast at a wedding feast? It's a celebration. It's a time of rejoicing, feasting. It's a time of joy. Because following Jesus and being his disciples are like participating as a dear friend with the groom in the joyful festivities of a wedding. So why would you fast? Why would you mourn? So in light of this, fasting would make no sense. Rather, this is a call, the call of Jesus, to repent and follow him. But there will be a time, when the disciples will mourn. After all, Jesus will go to the cross and suffer and die for the sins of the whole world. He will die and rest in the tomb. Then when the bridegroom is taken away, they will mourn. They will fast. The culmination of Israel's hope, Jesus, the Messiah, has come. So there is not a time to mourn now. There's a time to rejoice. And again, Jesus taught about fasting back in chapter 6. The thing is not the thing. It's about Jesus. He's not an addition to Judaism. As often happens, you have this kind of Jesus and then let's add on Jesus plus. Here you have the Old Testament and let's stamp Jesus on top of that. No, that's not the case. Jesus has come to fulfill what God has promised, that he would send a Savior, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And so in Jesus alone, we put our faith and our hope. Living in Africa for 8 years, you encounter a lot of different foods and culture and religious practices. I probably could say that for my time in California and Oregon and South Georgia, the state. There was a whole lot of, well, and St. Louis, Missouri, coming from Oregon. A lot of cultural differences and a lot of different foods and a lot of different experiences. In Ethiopia, the culture, though, is very much influenced by Coptic Christianity, by Eastern Orthodox Christianity, the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church. It influences so much that you don't even realize it. It influences the holidays. It even influences the coffee ceremony. After all, you have to have 3 cups of coffee, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have to have incense. Let my coffee rise before... No, let my prayers rise before thee as incense. But even going to the grocery... Or rather, not the grocery store. There is an experience there. But even going to the restaurant or the butcher. Try to go to the butcher on Wednesdays or Fridays. There will be no meat because it's a fasting day if it's an Orthodox butcher. Or to go to the restaurant. You have on one side of the menu fasting and on the other side non-fasting. And then finally to go to Caldi's, that's where the original Caldi's is, you can get a fasting macchiato or a non-fasting macchiato. Milk or non-milk. The Orthodox Christians fast, after all, some 200 plus days out of the year. For saints' days, for extended Lent and extended Christmas, pre-Christmas, they actually have the lowest amount of calorie intake of any people in the world. And fasting shows that very clearly. They do so because the bridegroom is taken away. But Jesus lives. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, even to the end of the age, in word and sacrament. Yet, isn't it like our old Adam, our sinful nature, wanting to be setting the rules and abide by them? Surely if I fast, then God will hear my prayers. Or surely if I fast, then certainly I can gain merit or something. And that's indeed Orthodox teaching. Eastern Orthodox teaching. Am I worthy enough? If it's not fasting, it could be something else. But it's not the doing or the not doing that saves or gains merit. And so repent and believe the gospel. Christ has done it for you. It is finished on the cross. He has saved you from sin and death and hell. So Jesus puts it this way as he's answering the disciples. Just as one might sew a new piece of cloth on an old garment to patch it, the patch will do what? When you wash it, it'll tear away. When you wash it. Or again, putting new wine in old wineskins. What will the fermentation do? Blow it up. The wineskin will be destroyed. It cannot be contained. The gift of forgiveness that Christ brings cannot be regarded as something smaller or could be contained in old wineskins. It's not something that just fits into existing structures of belief and practice. It blows it up. Jesus, God, Emmanuel, God with us, has fulfilled the law and all its practices. So you cannot take the Old Testament and slap Jesus on top. No person, no system of thought can take Jesus as an odd add-on or to any kind of existing theology. All faith and practice must begin and start and center on Jesus. Because salvation comes nowhere else. In Jesus. No other way, no other means, simply only in Jesus. By what he's done on the cross for you, and we hold on to that by faith. Jesus must be the starting point. You know, I know the Roman Catholic world is very excited about a new pope. So as I was traveling over the seminary last night, I heard Roman Catholic radio, and they were having a call in about people excited about the pope. And one lady called in, and I really felt sorry for her. She called in and she was all excited because she had heard that the Pope had been, they had chosen a Pope. She was at her doctor's appointment, and she was not able, because she was just finishing up the last few minutes of that doctor's appointment, she was not able to actually see the Pope come out onto the balcony and give the blessing. Because after all, there is a plenary indulgence for those, I'm not making this up, for those who see the Pope personally there or those who watched it on TV, a plenary indulgence. You could literally hear her heart sink on the radio when she said, "I was only 3 minutes late. Does it still count as an indulgence?" Salvation comes in no one else and nowhere else than in Jesus. Not by our works, not by our intentions, not by our fasting or prayers. Those are our response of faith. Not by what we abstain from. It's simply only by faith in Jesus, in the all-sufficient work of Jesus on the cross for you. Faith clings to that great good news. Christ died for you. Christ fulfilled the law for you. He paid the price for your sins. He is the Messiah who has come for you. He is God with us, Emmanuel. Cling to that good news. And that's the point of our text. Like new wine and old wineskins or a patch on an old garment, Jesus is and must be primary, first, and central. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.